gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It is written, if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth himself, this man's religion is vain. It is written, pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It is written, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not.
For God is just a prayer away.
Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. It isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one looking back from the glass. Some people may think you're a straight-shooting chum and call you a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear to the end, and you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world on the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you've cheated that man in the glass.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled God's Mirror for the Soul. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is God's mirror for the soul. If you open it up and look carefully, you will see your own reflection. James told us that when he said, for if any man be a hearer and not a doer, he's like unto a man that beholdeth his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In the book of Proverbs it is said that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. And so it may be in the mirror of your imagination. You may view yourself as a perfect specimen, but God's looking glass is like those mirrors in the amusement park that distort your reflection. In God's mirror, you could see yourself in your reflection the way God looks at you. You might look like you're 5 feet wide and 2 feet tall, with a gooby-gooby expression on your face, or 10 feet tall and as thin as a toothpick. According to James, you can see your own reflection in the Bible and then forget how you look. The Bible is God's looking glass. You have no idea what your soul looks like until you see yourself as you really are reflected in the mirror of God's Word. So let us look at the human soul the way God sees it in the looking glass, the Bible. We can oftentimes see the reflection of ourselves in the lives of the characters in the Bible. So hold up God's mirror for the soul and take a good look at yourself. you may be shocked at what you see. In fact, some of you may think that your reflection in God's looking glass is the scariest thing you ever saw, worse than any spook you ever saw on Halloween. I read of a missionary one time that gave a mirror to a chief of a jungle tribe. The chief had never seen a mirror, and when he saw his reflection in the mirror, he broke the mirror. I know the feeling. That chief was not like Narcissus of Greek mythology, who, when seeing his reflection in a pool, fell in love with himself. There's no way you can fall in love with yourself by seeing your reflection in the Bible, God's mirror for the soul. So take a good look at yourself in the mirror of the Word of God. It is like the three-way mirrors in the clothing stores. You can look into the mirror of your soul and see yourself from every possible angle. Don't expect the reflection to be too complimentary, like the words of the nursery rhyme, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And so we look into the mirror of God's Word and see our reflection in an incident in the life of David and Bathsheba. Look in God's looking glass at King David. And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very fair to look upon. Now hold up the mirror of God's Word. Do you see your own reflection as you watch a porno movie? Or as you put a porno tape into the VCR? Or look at a pornographic magazine? Or some of the popular television shows? The accusing voice of Nathan the prophet to King David speaks to us today. Thou art the man. In the 4th century, there were people who thought the way to live above sin was to live the monastic life in seclusion from the other sex. The big trouble is, you cannot get away from yourself. One Christian magazine recently tells of one monk tormented with lust and found the answer to controlling his thoughts was to stick his finger one by one into a burning lamp. Another would cool his ardor by taking off his clothes and jumping into a briar patch. The main objection to that procedure is that a briar patch is not always handy to jump into. So what are you going to do? I have been told the best way to that is a cold shower. If that won't work, how about prayer? David's sin was great, but don't look upon it lightly. There was a terrible price he paid for his sins. Although he was forgiven, the Lord's edict was that the sword would not depart from his house. A son died in infancy. A daughter was raped by her half-brother, who in turn was murdered by another half-brother. Absalom rebelled against his father and was slain. Adonijah, another son, was slain by Solomon. No wonder David declared that his sin was ever before him. The proverb states it for us, "The way of the transgressor is hard," and David fully understood that. The Bible is the mirror for the soul. Look again into the mirror for the soul and see the reflection of Felix in Acts 24. Felix sent for Paul, the prisoner, to hear him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. Felix came in with Drusilla, a woman who had been married to a small-time king, and Felix persuaded her she could be better off with him. She was a daughter of the Herod who had cut off the head of James. Now Felix wanted to hear Paul concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. At the first of that chapter, it is said that Felix had more excellent knowledge concerning the way. He already knew much, But now Felix wants to hear more about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's always commendable when a person wants to add more to his knowledge of Jesus, more than he already knew before. Paul met the issue head on. He spoke of righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix, like a lot of people today, was shocked when he heard that knowing more about Jesus had something to do with repentance from sin and the judgment day. Many are like Felix today. They like to hear about Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. They just don't want to hear what Jesus said. Actually, Jesus is a living word, and we cannot separate Jesus from what he said. When Felix heard the sermon, he trembled. He was convicted, but not willing to give up his sin. He postponed salvation and told Paul, "Go thy way, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee again unto me." He hoped that Paul would give him money to let him loose, so he called for Paul frequently and heard him. But he never trembled again, because God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." We will do what God wants us to do when he tells us, or we may never, never do it at all. According to the preaching philosophy of the present day, Paul should have preached like Isaiah said of the false prophets, "Speak unto us smooth things." Preaching smooth things is to preach the truth in such a way that everyone feels inspired and no one convicted of sin. Paul probably told Felix that day what he said to the church at Rome, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body." And again, he may have reminded Felix of the words of Jesus, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Tomorrow, he promised his conscience, "Tomorrow I mean to believe. Tomorrow I'll think as I ought to think. Tomorrow my Savior receive." Tomorrow, 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 thus day after day it went on. Tomorrow, 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 till youth like a vision was gone, till age and his passions had written this message of fate on his brow, and forth from the shadows came death with a pitiless syllable, "Now." Every person who has heard the gospel of Christ and waited for a convenient season needs to look at his own reflection in this account of another rejecter of Christ in God's mirror for the soul. Now, take a look at God's mirror for the soul by looking at the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. The account begins in a very significant way. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession." Up to this time, the church was on a roll. It began with a bang. 3,000 were added the first day. Then the number grew to 5,000. The enemies could not stop the steamroller progress of the soldiers of the cross. Then all of a sudden, something went wrong. The first problem the church faced was from the inside, and it was over money. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, these two sold a possession and brought a certain part and gave it to the apostles as though it was the full amount. They did not have to sell the land. After it was sold, they did not have to give it. But they gave it a part as though it was the full amount. They were looking for the approval of men rather than the approval of God. When Peter asked them about it, they dropped dead. Looking at these two in God's looking glass, many of us will see our own reflection. I've heard many say many times through the years, I'm giving all I can. Only God is qualified to say whether or not we are lying to the Holy Spirit. The fact that many of us do not drop dead as we put our contribution in the offering plate does not mean that God has changed his mind about lying to the Holy Spirit. As we hear the voice of the Macedonian crying out in many lands, and hands reaching out, begging for Bibles to know more about Jesus, and that many members of the church never read that Bible, it behooves me never to say again, I am giving all I can. Look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and many of us will see our own reflection in God's mirror for the soul. Now take another look in God's looking glass at the evangelist Philip. Philip was called by an angel to arise and go toward the south, on the road that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he arose and went. God did not tell him the exact destination. He just told him to go, and he rose up and went. Many of us can understand that command. It is evident from our own lives in service that the Lord calls us to different ministries. Paul told the Roman church, we have many members in one body, and all have not the same office. We have all been called to serve in one way or another. While we do not hear the audible voice of an angel, subsequent years give evidence of a God-given plan of our lives. Like Philip, none of us have any idea where the journey will lead us when we first realize it was our duty to go. Our first duty is to rise up and go, and further instructions will be given along the way. When he arrived at the right place, the Holy Spirit gave him instructions to preach a sermon to a man going after a visit to Jerusalem. The man was reading the scripture in the book of Isaiah, and Philip started at that point and preached unto him Jesus from that text. After the sermon, the man said, Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? There is not a word about baptism in that text that Philip used. We do know that Philip preached about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. But on the basis of what he heard, he asked the question as to what hindered him from being baptized. Evidently, you cannot preach Jesus without including the necessity of baptism. The act of baptism was accomplished by going down into the water and coming up out of the water. Many good folk may tell you that they cannot be immersed because their dear old grandma was never immersed. May I kindly ask, did Jesus say, If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, then follow grandma? As you look into God's looking glass at Philip, preaching this sermon, do you see your reflection, following Jesus? Or is it the image blurred, and you see yourself following the word of the preacher rather than the word of God? Truly, the Bible is a mirror for the soul. Let us take one more look at God's looking glass and look at the reflection in the mirror of our former days of our lives. In 1 Chronicles 11, King David had taken the city of Jebus, from now on called Jerusalem. The Philistines had control of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was where David lived as a boy. David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate. Perhaps many of us long for a drink from the old well of bygone days. There were three of his captains who heard him thinking out loud and broke through the Philistine lines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate and brought it to David. David was so overcome by their devotion that he symbolized the water as their own blood and poured it out on the ground as an offering to God. This was no small sacrifice. It was an offering to God that could not be taken back after it was poured out. The offering of our lives in service to the King of Kings is the same. It should never be taken back. It was a great sacrifice also because it was an offering of great value. Ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to give God something we don't need anyway. People will offer a sick body to the Lord. Lord, get me through this operation, and I will serve you better. Promises to serve God with great zeal are easier to make when sick rather than when perfectly well. Lord, here is my sick body. You can have it. See what you can do with it. If it gets well, I don't need God. Listen to the words of David again. Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate. He remembered the old days as a keeper of his father's sheep. Then he longed to go back. Even though he was now king, he wanted to go back to the way it was when he was a boy. He wanted to drink from the old well. Although we cannot go back and drink from the old well of Bethlehem that is by the gate, it will always be there enshrined in our memory. But it would be a nice place to visit. I'd like to go back and visit my boyhood days for just a week time. On Sunday, I would attend the church services and visit with the congregation, most of whom now have crossed over Jordan. I would hear again the kind of preaching of the gospel that would be completely out of style today. In fact, if that preacher were alive today and asked to preach, most of the congregation would get up and leave in the middle of the sermon. Not that there would be anything wrong with the preaching, but there might be something wrong with the people. If I could go back to the old well that is by the gate in the springtime when I graduated from Bible college, I would visit with 25 other young men, 100% of which would be going out into the world as preachers. Not even one would go out as a psychologist or even as a youth minister. One may say, well, what's wrong with that? I did not say anything was wrong. I just said I would like to drink water from the old well at Bethlehem that is by the gate. And as I received my diploma again, I would muse, I wonder what percentage of preachers will be turned out 50 years from now on from any Bible college. These lines from a familiar poem express it well. Express it well for those of us who long for a drink from the old well of Bethlehem that is by the gate. Backward, turn backward, time in thy flight. Make me a child again just for tonight. But ladies and gentlemen, it's fair to ask, why would you wish to go back to the old days? We have it so much better today. While it's true our lifestyle is much better, we have so many things today unavailable then. Perhaps the reason many people would like to go back to the old well would be because there are more important things in life than the possession of things. And so, along with David, I wonder if someone will break through the Philistine lines of conformity, the lines of faith without repentance and obedience, the lines of everybody's right, no matter is wrong, whatever you believe. Bring me a drink from the well at Pentecost, the day when the church began. Let me hear again the way it was when penitent believers were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I look into God's mirror at my soul and see the reflection of an old man who longs to go back and once again drink of the water of the well at Bethlehem that is by the gate.
We
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.